And thank you for joining us for Growing America's Roofing Workforce, the podcast where we interview the people working to recruit, train, and retain the future of the roofing industry. Today, our host is Doug Van Dyke of Van Martin Roofing in Dayton, Ohio, and we're here to talk about Emerge, a program that Doug's just finishing to help people in at-risk segments of his community find fulfilling lives in the trades. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
Great. So, why don't we just start from the beginning? Why don't you talk to us about what Emerge is, how the idea came to be?
Okay, so Emerge is a 240,000 square foot building that sits on about 50 acres that was purchased by myself and two other men that are in the, one is in the plumbing trade and one is in the HVAC trades, and it was purchased. There's a backstory to it where we weren't exactly sure, but it's kind of where it's ending up is that we're going to be housing up to 150 people along with a set, along with our companies, along with a certified trade school and all the wraparound services for at-risk populations.
Okay. So, wow. I mean, housing them directly on the site when you're training them. How did that idea come up? And, you know, kind of what's the benefit for housing them directly at the property?
So it came up from our experience hiring people that, I guess, a second chance employers is how you would categorize that. And what happened was, as a byproduct of that, we noticed that people in those situations had difficulty with housing sometimes. And so what we ended up happening was, is we were buying housing and housing people already. But then we noticed that they were taking part in a lot of other services for probation services and counseling services. And there was other organizations that were benefiting from what I guess we would describe as sort of a ministry. And so we started thinking about a new model that would kind of wrap this under one roof. So aside from the trade schools that are on site, there's also the company. So it won't just be a trade school. They'll be at a school and then on a truck that afternoon. And then the other piece that's kind of neat about it is the HR doesn't always fall on the company. So we'll have a full counseling and billable services area for we're figuring all that stuff out. But a lot of the benefit is that the HR doesn't fall directly on the companies. There's a continuum that links the recovery housing space along with the employers, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So some of those things that HR might have some difficulty in doing with some people that might be difficult, more difficult hires for a variety of reasons, a program like Emerge gets to, you know, carry some of that additional weight and provide a better support structure around those people, right?
Correct. I mean, I've hired multiple people straight out of the penitentiary or straight out of a treatment centers where I can't tell you the countless times I think we all have as business owners sat with people and done their budgets and done these other things. So we just do that as a matter of course. And there's a lot of people when they're coming out of a situation like that, maybe they have a good support family, okay? And what we noticed is that the people that had a community and a support, their odds were a lot better, right? And we call it walking it out, meaning that they get a couple years under their belt where they get some self-esteem, they're in a career, they're with a company, they're doing good. But when they had that support around, the odds were just dramatically increased. So and then what you typically end up with is if you're back in the same environment, and we're not, this isn't a charity by any means. I mean, this is a, you know, they're going to be required to, there's going to be a pretty strict entry process and they're going to be required to participate in the program in order to be eligible to stay there. So,
yeah. And I think a lot of people, both, you know, the attendees here today and people who might be listening to this in the future are familiar with, you know, the concept of recruiting from people who are going through different steps of rehabilitation, whether it be, you know, penal, whether it be, you know, drug and substance abuse. So let's talk a little bit more about that, about how Emerge is going to be this this ongoing effort to, you know, be that support structure for these people and how they can grow in the long term.
Okay. So what we've done is we've hired, I mean, we have we've created an organization that with people that are experts in that space. So we have actually a clinical director there. We'll have all the wraparound services, including like in Ohio, we have what's called job and family services, which is deals with people with getting their licenses back and whatever that stuff. But it's all going to be, I mean, in addition out there, we have diners and cafeterias that are going to be running. So, but we'll have all the wraparound stuff kind of in one place, kind of a one-stop shop. I mean, we have a lot of other places that there's a lot of people treating the addiction from a medical standpoint of view, and they're but the workforce piece is there's organizations that we see they have all this services and everything else, but the workforce piece is an afterthought. In our view, the workforce piece is paramount to somebody walking it out to where they have a decent paying job, and that they're not just where they're embedded in that culture and kind of got their feet underneath them. But that goes with a lot of the challenges, I think, in early recovery. And there's a lot of things that some of these people really need more intensive help than an employer can give them. So that being said, we'll have a full staff of lots of people with lots of letters after their names that are going to be facilitating the housing portion of this, the treatment portion of it. It'll be a fully billable and money-generating nonprofit to be able to more fully support the individual as opposed to trying to make a profit off the thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I understand. You need to, you know, generate something out of the bottom line for, you know, for continuing to grow this thing out and offer those, you know, that benefit back into the structure itself.
Correct. And we're uncovering all kinds of workforce. There's all kinds of stuff out there. We're not, you know, honestly, this idea came through with 3 days prior to when we bought the building. And it was just a group of guys that just kind of fired at the pot. And we're taking a flyer. So things are looking really good. We're getting ready to first quarter. By April 1, we should have our first clients on site.
Wow, that's, you know, not too far off.
No, it's pretty close. So, you know, and there's a lot of flux going on with the, you know, we're working. We hired a gentleman from a local school that's familiar with the trade programs. John, I know, John, you worked with the NCCR, I believe, and we're working on that currently right now. The HVAC, they're running classes out there, although they're not certified or anything. We're running these already with our existing employees to go through some of these things, and we're going to be adding more disciplines as we go along.
All right, so let's talk about those disciplines that are, you know, kind of like first up. What's going to be, what trade education programs are going to be available to these people at start? And then let's ask how soon roofing can be added.
There you go. HVAC is number one. The gentleman, Kip Morris, that did this with me, he's got a pretty robust, unique HVAC company, and he's been one of the a significant investor and founder of this project, as well as myself. That's up and going right now. His company is out there right now. My company, we're working on our strategic plan to get moved out there. So, and then the plumbing will be next, and then we're going to be adding roofing. We're going to be adding electrical. We got fire suppression, and we'll also be adding culinary programs and other things. And it'll be the trade school. Part of it is too, is that from our perspective as employers, we never think trade schools they're okay, but we don't believe that any trade school in and of itself is sufficient without the hands-on work out in the field. So we believe that that's great to get a certificate. Be honest with you, if somebody comes to his HVAC company with the HVAC certificate, it's not worth anything, because they don't have any experience working on the older units, and it's all the newer stuff. And we believe that So we're although we're doing the program to blend to what those are in order to qualify, we're putting an element of you're going to be on a truck with a guy too out in the field as part of this thing. And with the companies being on site there with the trade school, with the housing, we'll be able to facilitate that. It also ties into where there's a lot of, and I'm only familiar with Ohio, but there's a designation called peer supporters, which are, I don't know if you're familiar with that within the recovery space. And what it is, it's a certification. And at my company and at Kip's company, over half of the people are in recovery of some sort. That being said, there may be a way for us to kind of combine some of the efforts of the experiences of those people to be able to, I don't want to say monetize, but to be able to fund this thing, if that makes sense. So, and we're looking at a lot of different angles. There's no model that we're aware of that's similar to this in the United States. So,
yeah, I think it's really interesting, the idea of, merging what in my mind is kind of like a halfway house.
Correct.
With, a trade school. And yes, I will go to bat for trade schools and say that as potential locations for trade education specific to the construction industry, it's hard to do better than a technical college or a trade school. But pivot back, take a halfway house, you mix it with a trade school, but you provide the people who are in that situation the real world experience that they need to not only rehabilitate, but then also have a leg up amongst their peers once they are fully in the job market and fully rehabilitated.
Correct. And our, kind of my vision of success for this thing, to be honest with you, is, getting our first group of guys out there, then that guy goes through the program and he ends up on a truck for one of those companies, and the next guy ends up on his truck with him. It's that full circle and that mentorship piece. And you do the best you can as a company, right? But at the end of the day, everybody's going home somewhere. And I can't tell you how, the community piece, I think, is the differentiator, is having that sense of community. It's pretty neat what's going on out there now. You got all the companies operating. We got this trade school. We got this nonprofit working. And it's really the energy out there is really cool. So, and we've gotten a lot of community support, and we got a long way to go. But I think if we could prove this model out, it could be something that could be replicable, which is a kind of our vision is to create a new model for the way some of this stuff is done in the United States. So,
and certainly, a lot of the initiatives that NRCA is actively working on are connected with people going through rehabilitation. Associations like the Correctional Education Association, whom, have been great with having me come out and speak with them. But there is very much an intersecting part of that Venn diagram between the rehabilitative process and potentially the roofing industry.
In the real world, right? Of getting somebody back to the real world. They're getting back to, being a productive member of society. So
let's talk about the tenets of that community, because we're talking about building a support structure for people who probably haven't had it ever before, saying that some of the people who are in rehabilitative stages or coming out of penal institutions, might not have ever had that support. So what are kind of the pillars of that community that you're trying to build, and how have people reacted to it, kind of in the conceptual phase?
I think there's a lot of support for it. There's a lot of unknowns as well. I mean, it's scary. I got a significant amount of time, talent, and treasures, wrapped up into this thing. So, nothing ventured, nothing gained, 15 years ago, I was kind of one of those people myself, kind of getting things back together. And the roofing industry gave me an opportunity. It's a, there's low barriers to entry, which are good on one hand, and low barriers to entry are bad on the other hand, right? So, we're not sure exactly how this is going to work out. We do know that the community, the sense of community and the sense of belonging are important, and that, what we see now in lieu of ministry-based houses that are being bought where these people are staying, right? Which now transportation becomes an issue with a lot of these people. You have driver's licenses. That's one of the big benefits of this thing, is that the transportation issue is eliminated. Transportation is a big issue. I mean, getting anybody to work, get them to a job site. I mean, we deal with that continually as a company, right? Especially, I mean, people don't have licenses. They got their license taken away, you know, all that stuff. So that's a big part of it, and just feeling like they're a part of something out there. So there'll be some spiritual paths. We're not essentially, there'll be 12-step programs. There'll be faith-based programs. We're not beating anybody over the head with it, but they'll be available and be strongly recommended, along with the counseling will be required. So they'll be have to have career counseling and mental health counseling. A part of it too that we're doing, because you know, is we're actually have a 13,000 square foot building. We'll be opening up a full medical service center with the counseling for the people living there and for the outside community. That's also going to help fund this thing.
That sounds incredible. I mean, let's face it. How many high schoolers could also benefit from career and mental health counseling regularly?
Me too. So, right. So.
All right. So I guess the funding for this, you know, this whole thing, because, you know, without putting too fine a point of it, it sounds expensive. So what was that initial funding process like, and what funds have you found might be potentially available to, you know, not only make you whole for the investment that you and your partners have put in, but also set you guys up to grow this thing in the way that it needs to grow in years to come?
So we did receive some ARPA funds for initial build out. Ultimately, myself, my two partners are seven figures into this thing happily. We all are guys that have been given a lot of grace, and we believe that this is beyond, bigger than us, and we just want to do something. You know, I've been, I don't know what the words are for it, but we're happy to do it. We're not looking for, you know, we think this is the right thing to do. So we have other foundations and local people that are coming alongside. The budget for this year is in the green. So as we start the billing process thing and adding people, we believe that through the counseling services, and we've got local churches supporting us, and we have a director of development. So we have a very experienced fundraiser out there. We had an annual fundraiser. So there's a lot of those things that are going on. And we're hoping to be able to lower our contributions as this thing goes along. But the way it's structured is there's a lot of people paying rent as well. And a lot of that rent just goes into it. So if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I was wondering how, basically how it could possibly be done.
There's a lot of people right now in this space that have for-profit institutions. If you look in our town, there's all these people out there trying to get people into rehabs and other places like that because it's profitable. So we intend to take that profit and push it back in. So we'll turn a profit through the housing piece. There's money out there to be had through the government channels like that. So we believe we'll have our Medicaid billing numbers. We'll be able to bill all the insurers for the counseling pieces of this thing that should largely subsidize most of it, along with some foundation grants and other people that are kind of coming alongside of us. So,
all right. Well, here, that's a good place for us to take a quick break. What I'd like to do now is tell everyone a little bit about NRCA's TRACK program. NRCA's Training for Roofing Application Careers is a mixture of hands-on and online coursework designed to turn total newcomers into installers that'll do the job safely and well. You can even do the online part on your phone. Systems covered includes thermoplastic, EPDM, asphalt shingle, with a clay and concrete course almost ready for release. There's even a foreman training management course. Members and non-members alike pay a one-time fee for unlimited employees to take these courses. More than 110,000 modules have been completed just for NRCA's TRACK thermoplastic course. So whether you're wanting to train 20 employees or 200, check out how TRACK might help your business and email me directly if you'd like to know how it could be used to help connect with CTE schools in your area. So, Doug, going back to what we were just talking about, What I'm curious is the growing pains. Like, let's assume that everything that you guys kind of have set up now, you know, what does it look like 2 years in the future? You know, how do you guys plan on maybe growing this out, opening up other chapters or branches of this thing? You know, how do you see this thing going in the long term?
We're working off a 12-month strategic plan. We have phases. We have phase two and phase three that require large capital contributions. We went with the easiest piece of the pie right away. We have a, so we're not sure. We're going to prove it out this year. We're not working off a long, with how different this model is and what it looks like, there's so many variables that we're not sure about that we don't have a lot of data to make decisions based on. So we're going to start, we're working off a 12-month plan. We would love nothing more than to drop this model in other markets. So we'll see. And we're happy to share and talk with anybody that is interested in doing this thing. We're, you know, this is an endeavor of the heart. So it's not a, we feel like it's right. We feel like there's a lot of excessive waste within government spending in this space. We feel like that I am grateful for any of that they want to give to us, but we feel like the private sector always does things a little better. So,
excessive government spending? I don't know. That's kind of a hot take.
we think it can work. There's also things when you look at the what is the value of a restored individual off of the what is that, right? What is the value for somebody? You know, and there's a lot of people doing it, but we think this is right. So for a lot of reasons. I mean, I met the guys that I did this with. I met these guys out of the blue because we were all helping people. So all the stuff that's coming about here was there's some unexplainable little events, whatever you want to call it, that kind of put us in touch and on this path. So we're going a lot on faith. So, but we have a plan too. So we're not, you know, so.
Well, I guess my next question would be about, you know, if the people who are listening to this, you know, in the future wanted to do something to connect with this kind of person, you know, we have person X. Person X is getting out of, you know, an institution, either penal or rehabilitative. They're looking for a job. The roofing industry can offer that person a job for a lot of reasons. What are some things, some actionable things that people could do in order to connect with some of those people in their area without, you know, putting seven figures of investment into a thing and having something like that? What would you recommend?
I'm not sure, honestly. I mean, I would say to build a culture that recognizes that people are broken and to understand that as an employer, the whole person is more than the job that they do, and that these people are dealing with other issues. And it's not the job's responsibility, but it's the reality, right? It's the reality of that. And I don't know how you incorporate that information, but I think as business owners, from my seat anyways, it's always concerning to, you know, think about the guys there. And it's tough, you know what I mean? So this kind of was born out of that, I think. So I don't know. We, you know, we've just been, what I've done as a company and what the other guys that are involved in this has done is we've kind of had an open door policy when it comes to people's past and whatnot. And I think that's one of the neat things in the industry that we're in is that, you know, people can have a checkered past and have a second chance and they can make a good living. You know, I got some really neat stories around here of guys that are, you know, they've just really, their lives have changed as a result of this industry. So, and I don't know, you know, part of I think I kind of stumbled onto this accidentally. It wasn't an intentional, you know, it was just kind of stumbled on through, helping people, you know, I think thinking of others is, paramount to the happiness that I experience. And, so it wasn't on purpose. It just kind of organically happened. And I don't know. I think it's, you know, putting others first. You know, obviously you got a company, so you got to run. I mean, our primary purpose as a company is to turn a profit, right? So that you can't mitigate that. Profit has to be Profit's in the conversation, right? But I don't think they're mutually exclusive between making a profit and helping people. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. So,
yeah, certainly there's a lot of good that can be done when you're generating enough revenue to keep doing good. You know, otherwise you can you can dry out pretty quickly.
Yeah, you have to generate revenue. You know, I mean, I'm the dreamer kind of, so I got a lot of I got a lot of people around me that are watching all that stuff. So, but it's important to recognize that, you know, I still do it. I'll sit there with somebody and run them through a budget, you know, and they're, but when you can combine that housing piece and the other pieces. So what ended up, I mean, honestly, what happened was, is we were housing people. They're housing people, and then you're watching them. Well, they got to go to their probation officer at 10 in the morning on Tuesday. Well, how are you supposed to get back to work when you got a probation officer appointment at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday? That doesn't make any sense. And then we have guys that come in out of treatment and they're court ordered to go to counseling. Well, they only could go to counseling at 8 in the morning till noon every day. Well, how does that make any sense for a guy that's getting back on his feet? Then you got a guy that's coming out of the prison system. There's so many restrictions there that are all tied in. And, you know, what we want to do is kind of level some of those out where, okay, well, we'll run the counseling ourselves then. If you're going to put these mandates on it, we'll take it. And we'll do it on the weekends. Who cares? We'll make it work. You know what I mean? So we'll be able to control that piece of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. From the experience I've seen with people who are going through the rehabilitative process, you know, sometimes that having to check in, you know, having to go in and, you know, submit to a urine test in the middle of the workday.
Yeah.
Is kind of dissuading for a lot of employers because they think to themselves, this person's not worth the trouble. Is that what you're experiencing?
Pain in the ass. Excuse my language. Sorry. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Okay, cut it out.
It's not very convenient for the employers to go through. So it's not very convenient. But you know, part of our vision is to have a parole officer. We'll have that on site. We got a big enough facility. We'll be able to bring all these people in. So we'll have it on. It's going to be a community center in effect. We already have GED classes going on. We'll have budgeting classes. We'll have it all on site there. Eventually, we'll have, we have our HR department for the companies that are out there. Eventually, what we'll have is we'll have digital marketing departments out there. We'll have other avenues. You know, there's a lot of other things. It's pretty neat. It's 48 acres. We got about a 4-acre pond out there. We're going to have some farming going on out on the campus. So, and you know, part of it is in the early stages of this, maybe they won't be ready to work, but well, and we got a really big roof that needs replaced up there. We got a lot of teaching we can do, real live teaching out there. We got a lot of HVAC projects that are going to happen out there. So,
what kind of roof are you going to put on it?
I'm not sure. It depends. Any manufacturers out there want to talk, let's talk. So,
well, here, everyone heard that. That's an open invitation for manufacturers and distributors to solicit Doug Van Dyke directly for business on this project.
There you go. We got a big roof. It's failing. There's a long backstory behind all of it. So we purchased the building during COVID for a really good price. So it needs some work. We're working currently with some PACE funding. We're looking at some solar and some energy options that are, there's a lot of incentives there. We're looking at all that stuff and how to roll that all together, working with the state of Ohio and some looking at tax abatements and things of that nature as well. So,
okay. So I suppose we're getting to the end point of this conversation, Doug. So I guess it's just kind of open. What are some things that you would like people listening to this to know about Emerge?
You know, I don't know. We're, you know, it's follow your dreams. You know, don't follow conventional what everybody else is doing. You know, our attorneys and accountants told us we were crazy, and it looks like this thing's going to work. You know, and sometimes I don't know. It's just neat. You know, I think that you know, we're, you know, certainly making a profit's important, but you know, helping people out, I think, is a foundational piece, and it could be really neat. So that, I don't know. It's been an interesting road. I've learned a lot about. I'm learning a lot. So it's been an interesting process. So,
what's one piece of advice that you would give yourself now You know, if you had to go back to the very beginning of starting this, you know, this venture, what's one piece of advice that you would give yourself to make the whole thing a little bit easier?
Don't do it. you know, I don't know. It's been fun the whole way along. I think one piece of advice is I would have thought through the legal structure versus nonprofits versus profits and the tax entities better on the front end. We're having to, there's a little bit of reorganizing going on. I would have brought in people that were more disciplined in those areas that had experience.
Okay. So last call for questions from our participants and attendees today. Again, we are joined with Doug Van Dyke of Van Martin Roofing, and we are talking about Emerge, which is a mixture of a halfway house and a CTE school.
And a counseling center.
And a job placement center. And a business center.
I mean, and you have actual businesses operating. So you got the whole, it's a hodgepodge. So.
All right. So, well, as shocking as it may seem, there are no questions. One of the things that I remember from being a teacher is that, you know, 80% of the time when you ask for questions, you never get questions, but you never know, right?
That's okay. If anybody wants any information on it or whatever, we could be helpful. I mean, I'm happy to share what we've learned in doing this, and we're open book with all of it. You know, one of the things that is that, and I touched on this, but there's a organization called 115, and there's other of these organizations, and they're trying to figure this piece out, but the work piece is never part of the conversation, or not a big part of it. I see people going through these fancy programs they got with all this counseling and everything else. Well, they're working at Burger King leaving there. You can't, work is such an important piece. It has to be factored in. So.
All right. Well, here, Doug, thanks for joining us. Real quick, before we adjourn, I have a workforce development update, which is a segment we're going to be doing in these podcasts for the duration. Just a quick little check-in. So registration is currently open in 20 states for the new SkillsUSA Commercial Roofing Contest. For those of you who might not be in the know about this, NRCA has partnered with SkillsUSA, which is a national trade student organization representing 330,000 active members in the United States alone. Contests can be anywhere from carpentry to cosmetology to nursing to robotics and everything in between. But this year in 2023, on June 20th and 21st in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Georgia World Conference Center, is going to be the first national student roofing contest. Students at CTE schools in any of these 20 states can register to compete in this contest. Now, registration usually closes at SkillsUSA by the end of March. So if you are interested in seeing a student from your state represented at the national contest this June, please reach out to me directly and I can give you some guidance on that respect. Also, if you haven't checked out Stories of an Extraordinary Industry, another NRCA podcast, please tune in to Jared Ribble, NRCA's director, or vice president, rather, of pro certification, as he brings amazing tales of how roofing has impacted lives of all kinds and what's truly possible with a career in the roofing industry. So with that, Doug, I think we'll adjourn. Thank you for our attendees for joining us. And thank you, Doug, for teaching us about Emerge and everything that you guys are hoping to do. And best of luck to you.
Good to see you, John. Catch up soon. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.